with someone. We know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. And what a blessing it is that God would use us to be His ambassadors, His representatives. James chapter number 5 this evening. James chapter number 5. And we're going to get down to our text verse, really in verses 7 and 8. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And for those of you that have a bulletin, you've looked at the bulletin today, the title of the message, "The Coming of the Lord Draweth Nigh." The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. As a child of God, it's important to be regularly reminded that Jesus is coming again. Amen? And we often refer to the blessed hope as we see, as the Scriptures give us that terminology in Titus chapter number 2, and what a joy it is to know, to have that certain expectation that Jesus is coming back just as He's promised to do so. And we find that it's important for us to be reminded of this. I wonder in my own life, and I wonder if you would answer and do some evaluation in your own life, I wonder how often, how many days we really consider the fact that Jesus might return today. I wonder if we were to just look back over the last 30 days in our lives, just the month of January, we go a little bit longer than 30 days. If we look back in the month of January 2020, how many of those days did we live with the understanding that today might be the day? And really, we understand that the return of Christ is imminent. He could return at any moment. And when we understand that truth and we have that biblical foundation, we must allow the truth to permeate our minds and really to influence and impact our behavior. If I were to wake up every day of my life with the understanding that today might be the day that Jesus is coming back, it's going to affect the way in which I live my life that day. I often think about the coming of the Lord, and I think about the truth of God's Word that He is going to come, and I think about the way in which we would have an expectation maybe of house guests or someone that's going to meet us somewhere, and we have an understanding maybe of an appointed time in which they're going to come, and we prepare for that. We're ready, and we're preparing for that time in which they're going to come and visit. We understand that throughout the history of mankind, we could mention a number of events and look at various illustrations this evening of those that did not know the time of someone's appearing, and yet they had to be ready and be prepared. And of course, we do not know the hour nor the day, but we know the promise is sure, the truth is certain that Jesus is coming again, and we must allow that truth to permeate our minds and to really have an influence in our daily behavior. Notice in the text of Scripture this morning, this evening, before we get to our key passage there in verses 7 and 8, I want you to notice in verse number 1 of James 5, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Notice verse number 4, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." Notice how the message now in verses 7 and 8 turns back to the believers, the brethren that are being addressed. It says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." As we are to understand in James chapter number 1, just turn a few pages back in your Bibles and notice that James begins this letter, this epistle, with these words in verse number 1 of chapter number 1, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ," notice, "to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Peter has a similar introduction to those that he's writing to in 1 Peter chapter number 1, and he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And we'd understand that there are some believers that are being addressed in the book of James, the book of 1 Peter, that are dealing with some difficulties and some adversities and some oppositions, and we notice in the text of Scripture that some of that, for these particular believers that are being addressed, is mentioned in the first 6 verses. If you're taking notes this evening, I want you to first consider what these believers endured. Consider what they endured. First of all, it's important for us to understand that they often face great difficulty simply because they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a different era, a different time in which they lived in the, versus what we live in. Most of us, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, we kept our same job, we kept our same status, and so on and so forth, and things just kind of continued. We're thankful for the truth of our eternal destination being changed, but we understand in the first century and even in some parts of the world today that if you were to trust Christ as your personal Savior, if you're to identify with Christ, that you begin to face opposition simply because of your conversion. I've often mentioned how that during this particular time and in several countries around the world today, that if you were a shop owner and you trusted Christ as your Savior, that there were people that would stop coming to your shop. They would stop buying your merchandise. We find that there are people that would supply them the raw materials to be able to make whatever it was that they would make, and those people would stop providing. They wouldn't even sell them raw materials so that they would put them out of business. We find this evening that these particular believers that are being addressed, they were facing some opposition and some difficulty, and we notice what they endured. And really, in verses 1 through 6 of the text in which we've just read, we find that that James is providing us with a description of these rich men who were unjust masters. We find that they lacked integrity. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields." So we understand from that verse of Scripture that these people were hired. Now, if you're hired, you are agreeing that you're going to do a task for a particular amount of money, a wage. If we were to understand here in the text of Scripture, it says, "The hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields." And so we understand the context of what this relationship is. They were in some sort of agricultural setting, and we find that these people were hired. They went in and they reaped down the fields, but then they did not receive wages. You'll remember that David helped with his men there, helping with the shearing of the sheep, and then they decided that they weren't going to share the bounty and the monies that were coming in back in the Old Testament. And these people, they were unjust masters. They lacked integrity. It says this, which is of you kept back by fraud. They just decided they weren't going to pay them. You did the work, but oh well. And it says that they crieth. These people that were hired, these that did the work, it says that these unjust masters, these that lacked integrity, they held back by fraud the wages, and these individuals crieth. And the Bible says that the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. We find that these believers, that they were enduring this time of hardship. Can you imagine being in a position where you've made an agreement and you've had this understanding that you would do a set job, a task, you would be hired to do something, you satisfy your part of it, and then you don't receive your wages? That's what was happening. That was a situation in which these believers were facing, as it's described specifically here for us in verse number 4, and we understand what they endured. Listen, the reality is that the Bible tells us in verse number 6 that ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. And we understand that there are some that will oppose the people of God just because we're the people of God. And there are some afflictions and some opposition that we're going to endure. We understand that Paul said to Timothy that, yea, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And there are some things that these people would endure, but I want you to understand that though they endured some difficulty, that the message comes to these believers, and I want you to not just consider what they endured, but number two, I want you to consider how they were encouraged. I'm so thankful that the Word of God encourages us. I'm so thankful that the message from James, of course, as he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, comes to these believers, and it's a message of encouragement. I want you to just consider the truth of verse number 4 when the Bible says that the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Isn't that encouraging? To know that God is aware of the situation, that God understands what has taken place. And as I read verse number 4 and I understand the latter part of the verse, it reminds me of the children of Israel while they're in Egyptian captivity. And you'll recall that in the book of Exodus in chapter number 3 that when God comes and he calls Moses and he's dealing with Moses, that he mentions how that he had seen the affliction of his people, he'd heard their cry. And this evening, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're reminded that there's nothing that our Lord is not aware of, that He indeed is aware of that which they've endured, and they would receive this message that was a message of encouragement. I wonder this evening, as we go to the Word of God, how often the Word of God would encourage our hearts. I'm thankful for the correction. I'm thankful for the instruction. But the truth be told, there are times in which we open the Word of God and God just encourages us and He strengthens us. And what a blessing that is. We find that the message comes to these believers in verse 7. I want you to see, he says this, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." But I want you to notice the last part of verse number 7 and just the truth that is being given to these believers. He says, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain." It's interesting how that they had been involved in some sort of agricultural work, as it would say there, that they had reaped down your fields in verse number 4. And those, it says, the cries of them which have reaped. And now we find in verse number 7 that James is telling them to be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And then he gives them this truth with regard to the husbandman. And he says that the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. No doubt, as we look at James in verse number 7 of chapter number 5, that we would understand that this is a reference to none other than the Lord. As the Bible says, the husbandman. I want you to hold your place here and go over to the book of John in chapter number 15. And I want you to see what Jesus says in John chapter number 15. What powerful truth as we compare Scripture with Scripture. And we see here how that James is encouraging these believers. And he tells them that the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and that he has long patience for it. We find that in John chapter number 15, we find in the passage of Scripture that Jesus begins the discourse by saying this in verse number 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Isn't that what it says? "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Skip down and look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And we find that Jesus was giving this truth to his disciples with regard to the responsibility to understand our part and to understand that he is the vine, we're simply the branches, that we must abide in him. So often we reference the latter part of verse number 5 of John 15 when the Bible says, "For without me you can do nothing." And what a great reminder that we have in our lives that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. But we cannot skip and look quickly over the truth that is given in verse number 1 when Jesus says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. James now is writing, and he's telling these believers, as he's seeking to encourage them, he tells them that the back in James 5 and verse number 7, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. I like that phrase, the precious fruit. We mentioned in John chapter number 15 how that the Bible talks about bearing fruit, and that he, the husbandman, that every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He purgeth it that it might bring forth more fruit. He talks about bringing forth much fruit. He says that herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And here, James says to these believers that are enduring this conflict and this adversity, he says to them that the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. What a great picture. What a great truth that is being revealed to these believers and has been preserved for us this evening. I'm so thankful that the Bible continues and says, and hath long patience for it. Our God is long-suffering. Amen? I'm thankful for the precious fruit to the souls that have been saved, the harvest field. So often throughout the Gospels we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, we even sing some songs this evening, bringing in the sheaves and bring them in and singing about that sort of thing and the importance of understanding the analogy throughout the Word of God. And here we find that James is encouraging these that have worked in the field of agriculture, and they have gone and they have reaped down these fields. And he tells them that they're to be patient for the coming of the Lord. And he says that the husbandman waiteth, that he would bring forth, he waits with that patience for the precious fruit. To be patient is their admonition. He says, be patient therefore to these brethren. And then we find how that he tells them that God, the husbandman, that he hath long patience for it, for that precious fruit, until we receive the early and latter rain. Now as we look at verse number 7, we'd understand some truth that is given to us immediately. Number one, we would understand the truth of sowing and reaping. We'd understand the importance of the one that is going to sow the seed in the field, that he has to patiently endure and wait for a harvest. I've never been involved in having an agricultural farm of any sort. I've had a garden in the past, and you understand that you plant some seed, you do not go and pick the fruit tomorrow. Amen? It doesn't work that way. There's some endurance, there's some time in which has to go. The principle of sowing and reaping, we could look at the Word of God and we could see that the principle is scattered throughout all of Scripture, the principle of sowing and reaping. And as we would look at here and understand what's taking place, we find that he says, until he received the early and latter rain, no doubt a reference to the times in which they would plant the seed before that early rain, and then they would have to wait until the latter rain when the fruit of the field would be ready for the harvest. As I think about the truth of what these believers are being told and how this truth would encourage them, how that they could relate to what James was saying, how they could understand. Listen, when they were first, they did not go out and reap the field on the day in which the field was sown with seed. It wasn't the day they went out to reap. Amen? And they understood this principle. They understood what James was saying to them. And then we make the spiritual application and we hold our place here and we look at what Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Turn over there if you will, just several pages over in your Bible, and I want you to see what's happening in the book of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, we find that the Bible would share with us that there were some that were saying, where is the promise of His coming? There were some that were really making a mockery of the belief of the Christians, the believers. Remember, it was the disciples in John chapter number 14 that heard the words of Jesus Christ when He said that He was going to come again. They heard His words. Not only did those disciples hear the words of Jesus in John chapter number 14, but in Acts chapter number 1, those same disciples saw the ascension of Jesus Christ, and they heard the words of the angels tell them that this same Jesus shall come again. And we find that there were some that would take and mock the belief of these during the first century, and they would say, where is the promise of His coming? They had this approach. They said this in verse number 4, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Notice in verse number 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. They, by the word of God, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We find that they are willingly ignorant of that which was recorded in the Old Testament. We've dealt with in the last several weeks of studying the book of Genesis, that of the global flood of Noah's day. And they were willingly ignorant of this, and they're still mocking and saying, where's the promise of His coming? And notice what the message to the believers is in verses 8 and 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Our God transcends time, amen? He is outside of time. He's established time. We find that in verse number 9, the Bible gives us this wonderful truth. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. God will always do what He said He would do. And here the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But notice what it says here. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we're familiar with the verse of Scripture here in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. And we understand even this evening, as we've had the opportunity to sing some songs about missions and have our focus upon the need to go and to share the gospel and to let some folks know about the need to trust Christ. This morning, as we looked at the book of Hebrews and we mentioned about the warning and how they're to listen up, and for that one that would reject the message of the gospel, that they would not take heed to that which God says in His Word with regard to eternity, that the consequences are eternal consequences. Everyone believes someone, believes something. But we find in Hebrews chapter number 2, as we mentioned this morning, that God's Word is authoritative and it's been authenticated. And that's why the writer of Hebrews gives to those believers there in Hebrews the admonition to take heed to the very truth that is being given. We find here that in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, as the Bible says, that He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm so thankful for this truth that is revealed to us here in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. And when we compare it with what we're studying this evening in James 5 and verse number 7, and we find here that the Bible says that the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. We compare Scripture with Scripture, and we see that precious fruit that He's speaking of. It says that He hath long patience for it. I don't know when Jesus is going to return, but I know that His return is imminent. And I know that as we would consider this evening, the encouragement to these believers that as they were going through life and as they were dealing with opposition and dealing with these unjust masters and not receiving their wages that had been agreed to and so on and so forth, that James comes along and seeks to encourage them and tells them that God has heard your cries, that He's aware of the injustice that you've endured. He tells them, let me help you understand the plan of God. Let me help you understand that the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and that he hath patience for it, long patience. Now, some of us have a difficulty with patience. Sometimes we're impatient people. Amen? But we find that God hath long patience for it until He received the early and latter rain. As we look here and we see how that these believers were encouraged, we then notice as we get into verse number 8 that we would consider what they were to expect. We considered what they endured. We consider how they were encouraged. But look in verse number 8 and consider what they were to expect. He says to them in verse number 8, be also patient. Now, he's already told him in verse number 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And then he says, be ye also patient. After he'd explained to them the plan of God, as we've just studied in verse number 7, he says, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, what a great expectation that these believers were given. We find that they were encouraged with this truth, and they were understanding that they were to be patient. The word means to persevere and to bravely endure misfortunes and troubles. It carries with it the idea of not losing heart. The reality is that there are times in which we endure great contradiction and we endure conflict, and there are times in which, as we're enduring those hardships, in which we can lose patience, we can have that loss of heart. And we find here that James is encouraging them to be also patient. Notice he says, establish your hearts. It means to make stable, to place firmly, to strengthen. How was it that they were to establish their hearts? We find that he says, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, when we would set and help to establish our hearts by making them stable and firmly placing them upon the truth of the Word of God. I'm thankful that God's Word encourages us and instructs us, and we would find that he says here, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He did not tell them when Jesus was coming. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. But he simply encourages them with the words of what it is that they should expect, and that they should expect the coming of the Lord. Why? Because it draweth nigh. I want you to consider with me some verses of Scripture with regard to this great truth that we find here, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will. And this evening we'll look at a number of verses as we close out the message tonight that I hope would encourage us to be in that mindset, that we would understand that God has a plan. That God's plan, as we find there, that He is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He has that long patience for it. And during the time in which, listen, He's going to return. He'll be here right on time. Amen? He's not going to delay. He'll be here right on time. But until He comes, He's given us great truth that would help us to have this expectation. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse number 51, the Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet might sound? No. Shall sound. Right? The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We find that as Paul would conclude this great chapter with regard to the resurrection, he speaks about the victory through Christ and about the return of Christ, and how that we will put on that this corruption shall put on incorruption, and that this mortal shall put on immortality. And what a blessing to understand the truth of the Word of God. Look over, if you will, at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. A passage of Scripture in which we often reference. We think about those that have gone before us, that have taken and entered into eternity through death before the Lord's return. We find that Paul would encourage the believers in Thessalonica with this text of Scripture. Notice that he begins in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. In verse number 13 he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He wants them to be informed. I'm thankful that God has informed us. He's given us truth. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, notice this next phrase, by the word of the Lord. This wasn't Paul's opinion on these matters. This was the Word of God. This was by the Word of the Lord. And that's always important for us to understand that Paul is giving them Bible truth. It says that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that have died in Christ. It says in verse number 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. It says this, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Aren't these words comforting? What a joy to know the plan of God, to understand as He's revealed to us. We don't know the time in which that the shout will take place. We don't know when the trump of God will be sounded. We have in the past had heard that song, "Listen for the trumpet. Jesus is coming." Amen. And what an encouragement. These believers that were enduring this hardship, they were encouraged and they were told what to expect. And what they were to expect was this, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Listen, if it was true for them, certainly it's true for us. Amen. Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. And as we would understand this truth and we'd understand what the writers of Scripture are seeking to encourage His people with this understanding, that it would be certainly on our minds as we live our daily lives, that we'd redeem the time, that we'd understand the days in which we live, and we'd understand the truth that Jesus is coming. In chapter number 5, in verse number 1, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Jesus is coming. What a joy. Listen, the reality this evening, I said this morning twice already, I'm messed up. I took a nap this afternoon. I feel good, man. I don't know. I don't normally take a nap on Sunday afternoon. Holly was taking a nap, and I said, you know, that looks good. And I went and took a nap. And anyway, but it is evening. It's dark out. But the reality is that Jesus is coming again, and this truth would motivate us to godly living. The reality for us as Bible believers, those of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we look to the truth of Jesus' soon return with expectancy. Amen? I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about the truth that Jesus is coming again. But can I tell you, for the lost person, oh, they don't have that same level of expectancy. They don't have that same level of excitement when they begin to hear that Jesus is coming again. Amen? But for us that are the children of God, those of us that have been redeemed, we've been bought with the precious blood of Christ, how we ought to rejoice and understanding what to expect, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Look over in Hebrews chapter number 9. And I just want to reference a couple of verses here in the book of Hebrews, and we'll look at the last section of the Bible, in the book of Revelation in chapter 22, as we conclude this evening. But look over in Hebrews 9. Look at verse number 28. Verse number 27 says this. It's important to read this. Of course, in several months I'll be preaching from this text of Scripture on Sunday mornings. But notice what is said in here in verse number 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." Aren't you thankful for that? "And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He shall appear. Verse number 37 of chapter number 10, look over there if you will, maybe even on the same page of your Bible. It says this, "For yet a little while, and He that shall come, and will not tarry." We don't know how long a little while is. But we know that a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, 1,000 years is a day. We know that He's coming at the appointed time. And here the Bible tells us that He that shall come, and will not tarry. It's important for us to understand this evening and to hold on to this Bible truth that Jesus is coming again. Listen, if you look at things and you see what's taking place and you examine some of the things in our society today in light of some of the truth of God's Word, you'd understand we're living the last days. You'd understand that Jesus is coming again and He's coming soon. Amen? And I'm looking forward to it. Turn back to the book of Revelation, if you will, chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, I'll reference a few verses of Scripture here. In this last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, in verse number 6, the Bible says, "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants, the things which must shortly be done." I want you to notice, the Bible says that these sayings are faithful and true. God's word is truth. It says in verse number 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Notice in verse number 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." You know, the reality is that there's only one way to enter into the gates of that city. It says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, they that have right to the tree of life." It's those that are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. We mentioned this morning in Acts 4 and verse number 12, that the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ Himself in John 14 and verse number 6, "And I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Here in verse number 15, it says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Oh, wow, you compare that with John chapter number 4 with the woman at the well. And he said, "Can I have some water?" And he begins to share with her the truth of who he is. And she says, "Come, see a man that told me all things ever I have done." And many of them came from that city and were saved. What a joy. We look here at the passage of Scripture and we come to verse number 20 of Revelation 22. It says, "He which testifieth this thing saith, Surely I come quickly." Notice the response of John. "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I wonder this evening, are we ready for the return of Christ? I wonder this evening, as we would consider the message to these believers in James chapter number 5, when he tells them, in verse number 8, he tells them, he gives them this instruction, that they are to be patient also, be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Jesus said that he's coming quickly, and John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I wonder, are you ready for Christ to come? Are you living every day with the understanding that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh? That today could be the very day that the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The songwriter said, "The trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more." And we begin to consider this evening the many songs that we sing about the soon return of Christ and the many passages of Scripture. And we find how that these believers were encouraged. Can I tell you this evening that as we look to the truth of the Word of God, it will encourage us. The things of this earth can grow just heavy on us and they can discourage us. And there's some things that we endure and some hardships that we face and some opposition that we deal with. But we must turn our eyes to Jesus and we must understand that He's coming soon, that He has a plan. I don't understand all of what His plan is, but I understand that the husbandman, that He's waiting patiently with much patience for the precious fruit of the earth. No doubt, as we would look at the truth of that verse of Scripture, James 5 and verse number 7, and compare it with 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, that there are souls that still need to be saved. Amen? There are souls that need to be saved. And as we would be busy to do our work, to send the light, to go out and share that powerful, precious message that Jesus saves. Oh, what a joy to be able to sit down. That songwriter said, "Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord." Oh, that God would give us that passion. For we understand that He has a plan. And for those of us that are saved, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, what do we expect? We expect that He could come even today. What a joy it would be. Amen? This corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. John, in 1 John chapter number 2, the end of the passage, he talks about being ashamed of Him at His appearing. He gets into chapter number 3, those first few verses, and he talks about the fact that anyone that has this hope within him, he purifieth himself even as he is pure. Go back and look at those few verses of Scripture, the last part of 1 John 2 and the first part of 1 John 3, and how powerful this truth of Christ's coming should have upon us. It's an encouragement. And if we're expecting Christ to come, it's going to affect our behavior. It's going to change the way we live our life. If you had an expectation that someone was coming to your house tomorrow, there might be some things that you do. I can guarantee you, I got a bunch of papers on the counter. Any of you men put papers on the counter at home and you're not supposed to? I got a bunch of papers. I'm just telling on myself. I got a bunch of papers on one counter at home. And I guarantee you that if someone was coming to our house tomorrow, Holly would say, "Honey, you're going to take care of those papers, aren't you?" "Yes, I am." And I would. I'm not going to leave them all scattered around. Right? There's some things that we do, but I think spiritually this evening, what are we to expect? The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's coming, and He's coming soon. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us.